And we're holding on to Zayin Omud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We started talking about the judgment that Hashem does of a person every year, and according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson, every day or even every moment. The last thing we talked about was the idea that you have three groups, Tzaddikim, Beinonim, and Rishayim. And so you have judgment on Rosh Hashanah and the completion of the judgment for Beinonim on Yom Kippur. So now talking more on that topic. Now we have to realize that a person is judged, leaving aside what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson are saying about a person being judged every day or every moment. You also have, even if we say that, even if we say like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that a person is judged only once a year, Rosh Hashanah, and completed on Yom Kippur, there's also two other judgments that a person goes through. There's while they're alive, every Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's one after 120, when a person passes away, they go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla and they're judged. And then you have, there's going to be a third judgment, La'asid Lavoi, before Mashiach comes, or when Mashiach comes, at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be a third judgment of everybody. And that's now the judgment that we're going to talk about now over here, the Yom HaDin, is that one. The one that's going to be La'asid Lavoi. Some of the other ones that we're talking about over here in the Gemara, the one that we talked about yesterday. So that you might have. So actually, no, this one rather, yeah. So Tosfos points out that yes, they were already judged in Gan Eden or Gehenim, but there still might be, after all, a person might have gone through Gehenim, and now, when it comes to Tchias HaMeisim, after all. For example, they may have already been punished in Gehenna enough, and now they're able to go to now they're able to have Tchias HaMeisim and have Chaya Elam Haba. You can have that. Hashem can see at the time what's the situation with the person. There is a vort actually from the Balei HaMusar that says sometimes what you have is that a person, when they passed away, they had so many mitzvahs, so many averus, therefore they're judged accordingly. Now, between then and Tchias HaMeisim, though, their actions while they were alive had much more of an effect. You can have directly, for example, where there was a zoch of a zikah, like it says in Pirkei Avos about Moshe Rabbeinu, so the future good things that people do are all credited to him, and he needs to be rewarded for those also by Tchias HaMeisim. And then you can have the opposite, somebody who was Chotei Machtei Sarabim, like Yudavam Ben Nevat, but not even mitzvahs and averus per se. Sometimes you just have something, somebody does something, which might even mean neutral, but it had a certain effect on somebody else, which in turn had another effect, and so forth, a ripple effect. And therefore, Hashem has to take that into consideration also. And that's why you need a third judgment of a person by Tchias HaMeisim. So that's what we're going to be talking about over here. So Tanya, B'Shamay Omin,
Tchias HaMeisim,
yeah.
By Tchias HaMeisim, are all the Yidden going to be coming back alive?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about.
Another
That's what we're going to talk about. Hold on. Tanya, B'Shamay Omin, Gimel Kittes. There are three groups of Jews when it comes to the Yom HaDin, or three groups in general, not just of Jews, because we're going to mention, as we go through over here, we're going to mention Umos HaOlam as well. So there's three groups by the judgment of Tchias HaMeisim. Achas shel tzaddikim gmurim, va'achas shel rishoyim gmurim, va'achas shel beinonim, complete tzaddikim, complete rishoyim, and beinonim. And again, here you have the various possibilities that we talked about yesterday. Do we mean literally tzaddikim gmurim, as in the ones who never did any averus, and rishoyim gmurim, who never did any mitzvahs, and beinonim, everyone in between? Or does it mean tzaddikim gmurim, as in they have a little more than half mitzvahs, and then again that depends on Hashem's way of morning. That depends on Hashem's way of counting mitzvahs and averus, not ours, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so tzaddikim gemurim nechtavim nechtamim la'alto l'chaye olam. The tzaddikim gemurim, however you define those, are immediately written and sealed that they're going to have eternal life. They're alive. They come alive by Tchias HaMeisim, and they continue to live. We've talked about sometimes before a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban on the question: what happens after Tchias HaMeisim? Is it that the Rambam learns that eventually after everybody who comes alive by Tchias HaMeisim eventually passes away, and then their neshamas enjoy eternal life in Gan Eden? So the Rambam would understand that's what it means over here, l'chaye olam, not eternal physical life, but eternal spiritual life. Whereas the Ramban disagrees, and this is how Hasidus agrees with the Ramban, and says that no, it means that they actually will live physically forever, but their bodies will be on a much higher level. They won't need to eat and drink, for example. But anyway, so that's the tzaddikim gemurim. Rishoyim gemurim nechtavim nechtamim la'alto l'gehenim. The rishoyim gemurim will be immediately written and sealed that they go to Gehenim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the Rabbi Mishenei Admas Ofo Yokitsu. Hashem tells Daniel that many of those who sleep in the dust will wake up by Tchias Emesim. Eilo L'chaye Olam, some for eternal life. The Eilo L'charofis, the Diron Olam, and others for humiliation, for eternal disgustingness. That refers to the ones who are going to be the ones who are going to be in Gehenna. So to answer your question, then yes. So in other words, we're saying that there can be people who are going to be coming alive by Tchias Emesim, but the purpose of that is going to be in order to punish them, in order to give them what they deserve. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin about this actually, where Antoninus asks Rebbe, I mean, the goof can always claim I couldn't have done anything without the neshama. The neshama can claim I couldn't have done anything without the goof. So how is either of them deserving of punishment? And Rebbe gives him a mashal where the nimshal of it is that Hashem puts them together as they were when the person did the aveira, and then punishes them together. So that would fit with our Gemara over here, that by Tchias Emesim, these people get up in order to receive the punishment that they deserve with body and neshama together. The expression of rabbin, by the way, well, first of all, there are some people that the Mishnah says do not get Tchias Emesim, so that would be one reason why it says rabbin, but the Ritva gives a more positive reason for it. He says because you have some great tzaddikim who have Tchias Emesim even earlier. You have the general run of people have Tchias Emesim at one point, but it's brought in various places that there are certain really high-level tzaddikim who are going to have an earlier Tchias Emesim during an earlier stage of the Gula Hasidah. Anyway, so that takes care of the tzaddikim and the rishayim. Next, beinoniim, the ones who are half and half, however you find that, yodin l'gehenim, they go down to Gehenim, or with Satsafin, and they cry out over there. They're in Gehenim for even a short amount of time, but they cry out from their Yisurim, but Oilin, and then they come out, because that's it. The small amount of time that they were there is enough to clean up their Averis. Marsha has a different explanation of Mitzatzafin. He says it means they praise Hashem. When Hashem, while they're either it means while they're in Gehenim, they praise Hashem, realizing that he judged them truthfully, like you have the story in Bava Basra with Korach and his group, where Rabbi Baba Chana hears the underground saying Moshe Emes V'Sarasa Emes V'Hein Badoyin. Or it means that after Hashem brings them out of Gehenim, then they praise Hashem and V'Olin, and they come out of Gehenim. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Ve'vesias ashlishis ve'esh." I'll bring the third group through fire, meaning the fire of Gehenim. U'tzrachtim kitzroifes hakesef. I'll purify them like you purify silver. U'bchantim kivchoynes hazahav, and I'll test them like you test the purity of gold. Hu yikra v'shmi. This group will call in my name. Vani ena oisei, and I will answer him. So those are the people that they have to go through the fire of Gehenim, and then they call out to Hashem mitzatzefin according to either definition, and they come out of there. And Hashem answers them and brings them out. Those are the ones on which Chana said in her tefillah, Hashem kills and revives. He brings down to Sheol, where Sheol is another name for Gehenim, by Yaal, and he brings up. So referring to these Beinanim and at the Yom Adin, Lasid Lavoi, who have to spend a very short amount of time in Gehenim. Now that's all Bes Shammai. Bes Hillel Omer. Bes Hillel says no. When it comes to the Beinanim, we have one of the 13 midas is Rav Chesed, that Hashem has abundant kindness. That means Mata Klape Chesed. Hashem inclines the scale towards Chesed, as we're going to talk about further down on the Omer, how exactly Hashem inclines that scale. But so therefore, the Beinanim don't necessarily have to spend time in Gehenim. Hashem can incline the scale, and they wind up being in the category of tzaddikim, and they don't need to go through Gehenim at all. And Basil says, "V'aleim amad David, ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koli." On them, David HaMelech says in Hallel, "I love it," or as we're going to see later in the Gemara, it means "I am beloved when ki yishma Hashem es koli," when Hashem listens to my voice. And in fact, David said the entire parsha, that entire section from Mo'ahavdi until Kol Adam Koziv, I said the whole parsha, including the phrase Daloisi v'li Yoshia, that I'm poor, Meloshim Dal, I'm poor of mitzvahs v'li Yoshia, but Hashem saves me. Referring, therefore, Basilo says to these Beinanim who are donor, they're not rich enough in mitzvahs, that they would have been in the category of the Tzedekim Gmurim, and yet Hashem gives them a break, so to speak. Tosfos points out you have other psukim in that half capital that refer to those people. Afapuni chevle moves, for example, the bonds of death encompassed me, meaning that I thought that I'm going to have to go into Gehenna, but Hashem spares me that. Obviously, what David is saying this until him, he's not talking about himself. He's far above the level of a Bain, and he's talking about on behalf of that category of Jews. Tosfos also points out the word daloisi can also be related to the word daloi dalalanu, which means to lift out. So it refers to Hashem lifting them out of Golos. A Marsha goes through, there's a long Marsha over here that goes through almost pasuk by pasuk through that half capital and explains how it refers not just to the Beinanim. He says that various phrases in those psukim refer to all three groups. Some of them to the Tzadikim, some of them to the Beinanim, and some of them even to the Rishoyim. So far we have three categories. We have Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim. We're saying Beinanim, there's Machloikas, Vishamai, Vishilo, what happens then? Next, the fourth category, Poshe Yisrael B'Gufan, Jews who sinned with their bodies, which further down on the Amud, we're going to explain what that means, or Poshe Umasa Olam B'Gufan, and Goyish sinners with their bodies, which again we're going to define, Yodim the Gehenim, those definitely go to Gehenim, even Vishilo is going to have to agree with that, V'Nidonin Bo, Yud Beis Chodesh, and they're judged and punished there for 12 months. After 12 months, their body has been destroyed. And their neshama is burnt. One second, you're going to ask, isn't it? Neshama chelak alakani ma'al mamash. Hold that thought. The ruach mefazautan tachas kapis raglet tzadikim. A wind is going to scatter their ashes underneath the feet or hagoyes habach ads benas and offer, and they become dust tachas kapis raglet tzadikim underneath the feet of the tzadikim. We have a pasuk that describes that process. Va'asoysim Rishoyim, the Navi says to the Tzadikim, you will trample the Rishoyim. Va'asoysim Meloshin Isa, like you beat it down and trample it down like dough. Kiyu Efer Tachas Kapas Regleichem, because they will be dust under your feet. So what does it mean to become dust? So the Ramban explains that what it means is you have people who are in Gehenna, you have people who are in Gan Eden, and then you have people who are like they're neither. They can't be in Gehenna. In this particular case, we're saying they already spent 12 months there. They don't need any more time there. On the other hand, they're not roy to go into Gan Eden either. So therefore, they're kind of in limbo. And that limbo state is described over here in the Gemara metaphorically as they become ashes that the tzaddikim step on. Now, nishmas and nisrefes, so some of the mafarshim say it means literally their neshama. Other mafarshim take very strong issue with that. What do you mean? The neshama is never destroyed. It can never be destroyed. It's chelak elakami ma'al mamash. So they understand that it means nishmas and doesn't mean their nefesh alakis. It means their body. It means their nefesh bahamis. Those get destroyed, but their nefesh alakis goes free. So there's a fascinating letter from the Rebbe. I've mentioned it before in this shiur where somebody asked him. There was a chassid living in Newark by the name of Stockhammer. Later on, his daughters of his married Mentlik and Moshe Pinchas Katz and Ziskin, the head of the Kollel. Anyways, he was a yid living in Newark. So one time, the Friedrich Rebbe had set a mimer, and it was published in Akriv Akdusha on the theme of Kol Yisrael Yeshlan Chelik. And the Friedrich Rebbe explained, it means Kol Yisrael, without exception. And this David Stockhammer wrote a letter to the Rebbe, to our Rebbe, asking, what do you mean? Don't you have these various categories that we see here and in Sanhedrin and others that don't have a Chelik Loilam Abba? And, for the Rebbe, no Jew will be left behind. It's not just a slogan. You know, that was the Rebbe's life. So he writes back a long letter to him explaining that, no, actually, even those people that it says on them that they don't have a chelik olam haba, nevertheless, somehow or other, they will. They can have a child whose chusim help them. This is, after all, the idea why you say Kaddish for a parent, for example. You can have even it can be not a child, but somebody else, maybe even somebody unrelated, whose chosim are able to help them. You have an example, for example, with Acher, where Rabbi Yochanan was able to help him. You can have first of all, obviously, all of these things we're talking about is where they never did tshuva. If they did tshuva, then that cleans up before they passed away. Then that cleans up everything, on and on. And even if you're going to say, for example, that you might have a person who acted so badly that they don't deserve tchias neisim, fine. But at one point or another, their neshama was in a gilgul. So therefore, there'll be some other body that they were in. That fine. So they won't. So not all. So like this. Usually, you would have that neshama was in multiple gilgulim. A part of that neshama will go into each body. Fine. No problem. The same. same way as you can't talk about pod of a candle flame, you can't really talk about pod of a neshama. So fine, what you'll have over here is maybe you'll have that one particular body that this neshama inhabited won't come back by tchesa mason, but all the other bodies that that neshama inhabited will, because those weren't so bad, and so on and so forth. So over here also, so even if you have to have one particular body and one particular nefesh Bahamas is destroyed completely, nevertheless, still you have all the other ones. The Rebbe also once pointed out in the Sicha, by the way, that this metaphor of the Rishoyim becoming ashes or dust under the feet of the Tzaddikim, when you get down to it, what it means is, in other words, the Tzaddikim are now standing on a higher level because of that. If you're standing on a pile of dirt or a pile of ashes, you're higher than you otherwise were. So it represents the idea that these Rishoyim, even though we're talking about these Poshi Yisrael, Poshi Umas Olam, nevertheless, they have a certain connection to the Tzaddikim, not a normal one like you would have a person to person, but like in the sense that Tzaddikim are raised higher thanks to them. Now the next group. So far again, we have four groups: tzaddikim, beninim, rishoyim, and poshe yisrael, and poshe yisrael and umas ha'olam begufan, which we're going to define later what those are. We're also going to work out how that relates to the groups that we said before. Aval, but continues the Gemara, haminin. Minim, which Rashi defines as people who misinterpreted the Torah, for example, tzdukim and baitustim. There are uncensored Gemaras that say also it includes the Christians, for example. Bahamasodis, people who massered on Jews to the government. And it doesn't just mean, the Gemara in Bava Kama has a whole sugya on this topic of Masira. It's not just massering another Yid's body to the government, as in they're going to clap him in jail. It also includes massering a person, another Yid's property to the government is a very serious thing as well. You go, for example, and inform the government. You have cases in the Gemara over there. You know, you're looking for such and such a thing to confiscate for the king's palace. You should know this guy has a storehouse full of that thing. That's an example of Masira. But that's pretty serious. V'apikursim v'apikursim and apikursim, which Rashi defines as people who are mevaza tamed chachamim. The Rambam has a different definition, actually. The Rambam defines minim as people who have, the Rambam defines minim and apikursim and kofrim, which we're going to talk about next. He defines them in terms of the yud gimel ikrim, which the Rambam himself formulated. So minim are the ones who have wrong beliefs about Hashem himself. For example, Hashem doesn't exist, or there are two, or he has a body, etc., etc. Apikursim then are the ones who don't believe that Hashem has anything to do with the world. They don't believe in Nevuah, they don't believe Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is anything special, etc. So those, Shekofru b'Torah, the ones who deny the Torah. For example, Rashi says they say that there's no Torah min Hashemayim. The Rambam, again, defines that Kofrim includes that, and includes also, for example, people who say that Moshe Rabbeinu invented the Torah himself, and so forth. V'shekofru b'tchias ha'mesim, or who deny tchias ha'mesim, specifically. V'shepersha midarche tzibur, or people who separated themselves from the way of the tzibur. Now, Rashi says, what do you mean? What do you need to have that in the Gemara? All these people we just described, the Minim and Apikursim and so forth, all separated themselves from the way of the tzibur. The tzibur believes in these things, and these people don't. However, most Rishonim do have the Girsa of that. And the explanation is that the Rambam, for example, defines that that Pirsha Mudarche Tzibur means you can have a Yid. He believes in all the 13 Ikrim. He keeps the mitzvahs and everything. But, for example, when the Jewish people are in trouble, instead, and everybody is fasting and davening, he says, so what do I care? It's none of my business. And he goes about his own way. That's Pirsha Mudarche Tzibur. So even though he's not actually being over on any particular Avera, and he's not denying any fundamental of Yiddishkeit, but that itself, that he's saying that what bothers the rest of the Jewish people doesn't bother me, itself, we're saying, is a very serious thing. Another group, the people who put their terror in the land of the living, which we're going to explain later on the Amud what that means, that they were overbearing toward the tzibur, as we're going to see, and people who themselves did averus and caused other people and caused many other people to do averus, like Yeravam ben Nevat and his colleagues, meaning all the kings of Israel after him, who had the Egla Azahav and corrupted the Jewish people into worshiping them. So all of those, Yodim the Gehenim, Bini Donim Bala Dode Dodis, all those people go down into Gehenim and are judged there for generations upon generations. So now this is another category. They're not just there for 12 months. They are there long term. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, the Yotzu v'ro, eventually when Mashiach comes, and you have all Yobi Kobosa, Lishtach, B'Safonai, Omer Hashem, everybody's going to come to the Beis Mikdash every year, Midei Chodesh B'Chodesh, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatai, and the Pasuk says, V'Yotzu v'ro, they will go out and see, the figure how Hanashim HaPoshim B'Yogimer, the carcasses, the dead bodies of the people who sinned against me, which, as the Pasuk continues, their Isham, the Toilatam Loisamus V'Isham Loisikbe, the worms that are eating them will never cease, and the fire that's consuming them will never go out. So Gehenim Kol or Behem Enim Kol. Such people, even when Gehenim is used up, even when Gehenim is abolished, they will still be getting their punishment. They're not ending. They're still getting their punishment. Although there is an explanation the other way around. You know, the Sefer Asor Amoris from Rav Zalia Fano, which is mentioned in a lot of places in Siddur, it's important. Sefer of Nigla and Kabbalah blended together. Anyway, he explains the other way around. It means you have, for example, a pasuk in Hazinu that says Chitzay Achala Bom. Hashem threatens that I'm going to use up my arrows against the Jewish people. And Rashi says over there, it means it's actually a bracha in disguise. I mean, Hashem is saying even when all the arrows are used up, the Jewish people are not going to be used up. They're still going to be standing there firmly, having absorbed all those blows. So he learns our Gemara in the same sense over here. Even when Gehenim is done with, then Ehimenim Kolim, these people have not disappeared. They still exist, and they can still be rehabilitated. He also explains that L'durde Durdus doesn't mean for all time, like we would understand the pastors. He says literally it means four Durdus. So they're in Gehenim for, fine, much longer than 12 months. They're in there for four Durdus. So you're saying, let's say, you know, what, 100 years, let's say. But then they get out. Anyway, so Shenem, so why do they have such a harsh punishment? Shenem, the pasuk continues with Surim and their form, Levalos Sheol, will wear out Sheol Mizvulloi. So in other words, like, so to speak, Sheol, Gehenim, will be worn out and they're still there. We're saying the other way around, according to Asarim Amores, that Gehenim is worn out and Surim and their form is still exists. So the Chol Kach Lama, why does that group of people deserve such a harsh punishment? That they should push to Yedem Bezvul, because they stretched out their hands against the Zvul, meaning they caused the Beis Mikdash to be destroyed through their Averis. Shenema, that same Pasuk in Kapitel Mem Test continues, Mizvul Loi, from the Zvul of his. Zvul means a dwelling place. Like, yeah, when Zvulun is born, Leia says, Hapam Yizvulini Ishi, now my husband will make his primary dwelling with me because I've borne him six children. So the word Zvul means a dwelling place, and specifically the Ein Zvul, the Beis Mikdash. The word Zvul means specifically the Beis Mikdash. Shenema Bonei Bonisi Beis Zvul Loch. Shlomo HaMelech during the Chanukah Sabayis says, I built a Beis Zvul, a dwelling place for you, Hashem. So therefore, so we're saying, with Surim Levalos Sheol, these people deserve an extended spell in Gehenim, Mizvul Loi, because they damaged the Zvul of Hashem. Meaning, in other words, because of their Averis, they caused the Beis Mikdash to be destroyed. What about the ones who lived after the Beis Mikdash was already destroyed? So the Orach Laner brings the famous Maimer Chazal that says that Kol Mi Kol Dur Shalom Nivne Beis Mikdash B'Yamav Kilo Hechriva Kilo Nechra B'Yamav. Any generation the Beis Mikdash was not built during their time. It's as if it was destroyed during their time. So therefore, these Rishoyim were saying they're preventing with their Averis the Beis Mikdash from being built. Therefore, it's considered that they, with their Averis, destroyed the Beis Mikdash, because if it hadn't been for them, there would have been the potential that it would have been rebuilt. So therefore, we're saying, therefore, they deserve this extra long spell in Gehenna. continues the Gemara, Va'aleim omra Chana hav Hashem yechatu mirivav. On them, Chana said, Hashem, those who fight against you will be broken. Yechatu means broken, like al tira v'al teichas, don't be afraid and don't be broken. The Gemara continues, Omra Reb Yitzchak Ba'oven upneim domin l'shulek deira. Their faces resemble the bottom of a pot, like a bottom of a pot that's blackened by the fire, so do their faces look after they come out of Gehenna. Why their faces? Ben Yehoyada says, because you can see on a person's face what kind of Averis he did. So you see, therefore, the result of it is on their faces. Now, on the surface, this part of the Gemara is still talking about these people who have a long spell in Gehenna, the Minim and Mesodis and Apikorsim and so forth. However, the Girsa in Ein Yaakov, and Marsha also likes that Girsa better, is we're referring now back to the Beinanim, where Beis Shammai had said that they have to spend a short time in Gehenim. So they spend only a short time, but nevertheless, their faces come out of there looking blackened. So Omar Rava says the Inu Mishfiri Shfiri Bnei Mechuza. You should know among those people are the best of the best of the people of Mechuza. Mechuza is a city in Babel. Rava was the Rav in the Rosh Hashiva there. He lived there almost his whole life. So the Rashi describes that these people, they were very pampered and very fat. So Rava is saying that that some of them, some of these people, that Pneum Dom and Lashulik Dera are among the best, are among the best citizens of Mechuza. In other words, these people are not doing what they should. They're gonna wind up, he's warning, in other words, that these people are gonna be those ones who wind up for a spell in Gehenna. Or Mikarian, Bnei Gehenim, and such people are going to be called the sons of Gehenim because of that amount of time that they had to spend there. There is a different Girsa that says actually the other way around, that Rava is saying, you should know, even though these people come out with blackened faces, they're still going to be more beautiful than even the most beautiful citizens of Mechuza nowadays. As much as the people of Mechuza nowadays are rich and pampered and they look their best, these people, even though they wound up in Gehenna for a short time and they got blackened by it, they're still going to be more beautiful than those people of Mechuza, he's saying. So far we have several groups. We have tzaddikim, beninim, rishoyim. We have the poshi yisrael and poshi masolam, and we have the minim and masodas and so forth. So far we've got five groups. Now omamar, we said in the braisa before this hillel omim v'rab chesed mata klape chesed, that when it says v'rab chesed, it means Hashem bends the scale towards chesed. So what do you mean? And therefore, they say, therefore, the Beninim don't have to wind up in Gehenna at all. So what do you mean? What about the pasuk that Beshamai brought, that that one group, the third group, is going to have to go through fire, implying that there's a group that's going to have to go through Gehenna for a short spell. And Basila is saying they don't have to. So what do they do with that pasuk? The answer is Hoshim Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. Basila would say that pasuk is talking about the Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. So you're going to, which we'll define soon what those are. They're going to say, Pershi Yisro B'Gufan, Bahamad Leslu Takanta. What do you mean? We said that there's no fixing them up. We said that they wind up being in Gehenna for 12 months and then their ashes are scattered, etc. And yet now you're telling me that they only are in Gehenna for a short time and then it's Tzatzifin and then they come out. The answer is, we have to distinguish. Ki Leslu Takana B'Roi Vavoynas. When are we saying that there's no Takana for them? When they have most the Averis. And among those Averis, is the Aveda that's categorized as Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. Here you're talking about people who have half Avedas and half Mitzvahs. The Ispa, who nami oven to Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. One of those half Avedas that they have is Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. So therefore, in other words, what we're saying is within Beninim themselves, there are two categories. There are Beninim who do not have Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. Those, according to this Hillel, don't have to spend time in Gehenna at all. Hashem is Matik Klape Chesed. Then you have the Beninim, who among the Averis is Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. But other than that, there's still half and half. So those are the ones. So Loi Sagilahu, so it won't be enough for them, a punishment with Delave, basically, as a Shlishas Beish. They're still going to have to go through Gehenna of necessity because they were Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. But if not, if they don't have Poshi Yisro B'Gufan, then Hashem will incline the scale towards justice. So that's that, in other words. So now we have six groups. So we have Tzaddikim Gemurim, Rishoyim Gemurim, Beninim that don't have Poshi Yisro B'Gufan, Beninim that are, in addition, Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. What do you call it? Then you have the minim and so forth. The minim and mesodus and so forth. Those are the distinctions that we have now. Within the Rishayim themselves, there's also the distinction of whether they're Poshi Yisro B'Gufan or not. In fact, Tosfos says that when you have the Rishoyim Nechtovim and Nechtomim La'alot of Gehenna, so those are the ones, again, who are going to have to be 12 months in Gehenna. I mean. Okay. Now, we said in the Brais of Alei and Omer David Ohavti Ki Yishma Hashem, David said about this group, I love when Hashem hears my voice. So Dorash Rava, so in this connection, Rava Darshan, Mai Dichtiv Ohavti Ki Yishma Hashem, Omer Knesset Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Emasai ani ahuva lefanecha. When am I beloved before you? In other words, ahavti, we would understand it means, in the simple sense, I love when Hashem listens to my tefillas. But one thing is, why did he use the word I love for that? Chafatzti, for example, should say I desire, or some lashon like that. Ahavti, so it means not just that I love, but when am I beloved before you? Bizman shata shemer kol tachnunai, when you listen to the voice of my tefillas. So this is talking about, again, this group that Hashem listens to them and schleps them out of Gehenim. So the pasuk is talking about them. And when it continues, a few couple of psukim later, Daloisi v'li Yoshia, again, afapisha dala nimina mitzvahs, even though I'm poor in mitzvahs, li no Yoshia, it's fitting for you to save me from Gehenim. And that's what we're saying. So Bishamai says they do that, that all Beinanim do that, and Bishamai says only if they're Beinanim who are poshi Yisrael b'gufam. Next. Poshi Yisro B'gufon Mayinu. What is the definition of Poshi Yisro B'gufon? Amarav Kavkafta D'loy Manach Tefillin. A head that does not put on tefillin. Now, on one level, what that means is, in other words, that a person doesn't put on tefillin on a given day or something, which leads Tosfos to say, we're not talking about, for example, now there can be a case. A person is learning Torah, for example, he's technically potter from tefillin. We say in the Bar Mitzvah Maimon, we talk about how that Omer Yisrael of Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rebbeinu Shelolam, we want to learn Torah by day and by night, but we don't have the time. And Hashem says, Kaimu Mitzvah Tefillin, keep the Mitzvah Tefillin, I'll consider it as if you learn Torah by day and by night. And it goes on to explain in the Maimon how putting on Tefillin accomplishes the same thing, Lamaila, as learning Torah, almost the same thing as learning Torah. So a person who's learning Torah is Potter from Tefillin, so we're not talking about him. What we're talking about, Tosfos, and another possibility is a person could be afraid to put on tefillin because he needs guf naki and he's not going to be able to. So Tosfos says, fine, we're also not talking about that. What we're talking about is a person who doesn't put on tefillin because mitzvah bzuya olav. The mitzvah is, he considers the mitzvah shameful and embarrassing and something that he doesn't want to bother with. For example, he says that, I'm going to have straps of leather from an animal on my head. That would be what we're talking about, the kakafta de lemanach tefillin. There's a story, actually, there's a long story the Friedrich Rebbe tells in Lakota Diburim about a Yid who lived in Prague some 400 odd years ago, in the name of Shmuel Tzadik, and he had two sons, Moshe and Yehuda Aryeh, where Shmuel Tzadik himself was a maskilisha type, and he used to mock Torah. He was a Talmud Chacham, but he used to mock Torah and mitzvahs a lot. Eventually, one of his sons, Moshe, is taka a great Talmud Chacham, but a complete Rosha, and he's living over there and learning Torah while he's eating treifas and whatever. And many years later, his nephew, this is the son of his brother, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh, comes and helps him do tshuva. And he's sent by Rabbi Leo Baal Shem to help him do tshuva. Akitzer, anyway, after he breaks through to him, this Moshe starts reminiscing about how it was when he was younger, and he remembers how their father, Shmuel Tzadik, for example, when he's putting on tefillin, would laugh at him. What are you putting on animal skins on you? What good is that? That's the kind of thing that Tosfos is talking about over here. So now, with that, so first, the Ran explains that we're actually not just talking about tefillin. He says any mitzvah that a person has to regularly do, and he doesn't, because he decides it doesn't apply to him. So we're giving tefillin as an example. He says the same thing would be a person never says krishma, a person never says brachos, whatever, would be in those categories as well. With that said, though, a lot of the Rishonim have a girsa, including the Rif and others, have a girsa, d'loy manach tefillin me'olam. They never put on tefillin. So in other words, according to that, one time a person puts on tefillin, then already he's not in this geder of karkashta d'loy manach tefillin. This is where we get, in Lubavitcher jargon, when you go on with Tzoyim and you get somebody to put on tefillin who never put on before, and we say, now you got a karkashta, that comes from our Gemara over here. Because once he put on tefillin once, then according to the Rif and the other Rishonim, we have that girsa, now he's not in that category of poshi yisroel b'gufan anymore, because one time at least he put it on. By the way, I mean, you know, when the Rebbe began Mivtzeh Tefillin, there was a good deal of opposition to it from various quarters. And they brought up a bunch of points which the Rebbe addressed in various letters and various sichas in that time, like Chav Zayin, early Chav Ches. One of them was this question of Tefillin Tzrichin Guf Naki, and they need to have Kavana, and so on and so forth. And the Rebbe addressed it at some length. And one of the points the Rebbe made is just this. That look, you know, you put on tefillin on them one time, and look, one time it's new and exciting for them. You can expect that for that short amount of time they can have kavana, and you've done an important thing. You've taken them out of a whole category of people that we're saying over here in the Gemara of poshi yisrael b'gufan. Much earlier, by the way, the Smag in the mid-1200s also went on his own mitzvah tefillin. In his time, there were many people who were careless with the mitzvah of tefillin for various reasons, one of them being tacked at the point that you need kavana and you need gufnaki and whatever, so people had gotten very lax in it. So the Smag, Rav Moshe Mikutzi, traveled around to many communities in France and Spain on his own mitzvah tefillin, giving speeches in the shuls and being ma'orer people about the importance of the mitzvah. A generation later, the Sefer Achinuch writes about, when he's talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, he says at that time also you had people that argued against it. What are you bothering for? You know, they're not there anyway. What kind of kavana are they going to have when they put on tefillin? And the Sefer Achinuch explains, yeah, but after all, you know, look, I mean, tefillin is a tremendous gateway to other mitzvahs. So for that reason, it's worth putting in some effort to get it that Jews should be able to put it on. Anyway. So that's Poshi Yisroel B'Gufan, again, where they didn't put on tefillin, or where they never put on tefillin, as the case may be. Poshi Umas Ha'olam B'Gufan, what do we mean by Poshi Umas Ha'olam B'Gufan? Goyim who did Aveiros with their bodies, where they're saying where they're in a lower category, of even if they're otherwise Beinanim, they're still in a lower category because of this. Amar Rav Ba'Aveira. So Rav says it means when among the Aveiros is Znus. We know that Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach includes Arayas. They have a smaller set of Arayas than we do. They only have 6 Arayas compared to, we have a couple dozen. But still, the ones that they have. So when you have a Goy who otherwise is half mitzvahs, half Averis, but among his Averis, his Poshis, is Poshim the Gufan that he did Znus, then he's the one that winds up in Gehenna for 12 months and then getting ground up to ashes, etc. Okay. Now, we said in the bright... Yeah.
How do you explain that it says Amech Kulchem Tzadikim, and here we have Poshim, we have Shai.
That's what I was saying. Hold on. That's what I was saying before. Ko Yisrael Yashem Chelik Lan Mabah. And when this guy, David Stockhammer, asked the Rebbe about what about the ones who don't have a Chelik Lan Mabah, then the Rebbe explained how after all they do. Right, so all Gemara also has to be seen in that light. First of all, these people can do tshuva. Second of all, their children's schosim can help them. Somebody else's schosim can help them. All of this, Tosfos stresses that all of this is, we're talking about when they didn't do tshuva. So all of that has to be, all of that we're saying over here has to be seen in that light. We're not saying that this is an absolute thing. There's no takana for these people at all. We're just saying that right, if they continue as they are right now, and there's no mitigating schus and so on and so forth, then that's what's going to be. But there can always be. They can do tshuva, or there can be some other mitigating schus of their own or somebody else's, etc., etc. Right. So in the end, they can have a chelik lan mabah. And again, ultimately, if nothing else, the neshama itself is a chelik l'kami ma'al mamash. That doesn't get destroyed. So if nothing else, fine. It means that particular body is not going to come back by tches mason. But nevertheless, the other bodies that it inhabited will. Right.
I'm not talking chelik l'olam. I'm talking about kulchem tzadikim. The Jewish people are tzadikim. How do you explain
meaning,
that? And you say that
meaning in other words. Okay, meaning in other words, they're tzadikim in the sense. What a tzadik can mean, tzadik b'din can mean eventually in the judgment of them, they're pronounced innocent. And that doesn't, remember, you can have a case even in based in Shalamata, you can have a case where a person really is guilty of the charges, but they don't have enough evidence, let's say, to convict him. He's still considered a tzaddik in that sense, even the pasuk says on him, "Vnoki v'tzaddik al tarig," even though everybody knows he's guilty. So here it can be the same thing. Ba'amich kolam tzaddikim, at least in that minimal sense. That they all do have, as the Mishnah in Chelik brings that in connection with the fact that Kol Yisrael Shan Chelik on above, that eventually, one way or the other, every yid is gonna get it. All right, we need to go on though. We're running late over here. Okay, we said before, we said there were people who put their terror in the land of the living. So what does that mean? This refers to a leader of the community who makes people afraid of him, not l'shem shemayim. Now, there is, in other words, the idea that they have to respect him, l'shem shemayim, and he should be using his influence to improve them. But then you have what he's doing there. He wants people to fear him just for his own covering, not l'shem shemayim. So we're saying such people are in this category as well. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, and in fact, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Kol panos hamatal emi yiseir al tzibur shaloi l'shem shemayim, ein roya ben tamid chacham. Such a person is never going to see a son who is a tamid chacham. Shenema, as the pasuk says, l'chein yirei uhu anoshim, therefore, because people fear him, lo yirei kochach melev, he will not see from his own descendants any wise-hearted people. So because he did this, then that's his punishment. So now how is it midah k'neged midah? One point is, a paunus himself, we don't mean a paunus means a community leader of some kind. It can be a rab, it can be a rosh hakol or whatever. He himself is supposed to be a certain talmid chacham. But if he's misusing his position for his own kavod, then he doesn't deserve that he's going to have children of the caliber to be paunosim themselves, namely that they're not going to be talmid chacham. That's one explanation. Okay. Now, we said before, bes hillel oimim v'rav chesed mata klapi chesed. We said that Beis Hillel says that when the midah of Rav Chesed means that Hashem inclines the scale towards justice. So in other words, you have a scale with mitzvahs and averus, and Hashem somehow causes the side with mitzvahs to weigh down more. So heichi oven, what does Hashem do for that purpose? Rabbi Eliezer oimer koivshay. Rabbi Eliezer says that Hashem is koivish the avera, which has a few possibilities. Rashi says it means that he pushes down the side with the mitzvahs. Well, if you push that down, then it's lower down. Therefore, Hashem can say, good, the side with mitzvahs is lower. Therefore, it means it's heavier. Therefore, I can judge the person favorably. Elsewhere, in Erchin, this Gemara is also brought briefly. And Rashi explains the other way around, that Kovshay means Hashem takes the Avera and hides it away. And then there are a couple of Rishonim who explain that Kovshay means that Hashem compresses it, like squeezes it down, so now it takes up less volume. So now it weighs less in the scale. Anyway, Shanema, as the pasuk says, Yoshuv Yirachamenu, Hashem will come back and have Rachmanus on us. Yichvash Avinaseinu, he will be Kovish or Avedus. So we see that the one way that Hashem can judge a person favorably is by being Kovish, something pushing down the good side or hiding away things from the bad side, etc. Rabbi Yosi Berchanina says he lifts up the side with the Avedus, so now that side is lighter. So therefore, and the other side is heavier. Shenema noise oven for over our pesha, as the pasuk describes Hashem that He lifts up oven and forgives pesha. So therefore, we see that there's a certain lifting up process involved. Tonad ve Rabbi Shmuel mavu rishin rishin. We learn in a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that what Hashem does, a third possibility, He removes the first one. We say in davening the kel chapaimata or kel melech moichel avonis amin mavu rishin rishin. So that comes from our Gemara over here. And that is the midah. Now, what does that mean? There's a lot of different explanations about it. V'chein hi hamidah can mean that's the definition of the midah of Rav Chesed. It can mean v'chein hi hamidah, this is the proper way that Hashem should be doing things. And what it means, ma'avirishin rishin, the rift brings a couple of possibilities, a couple of explanations. One of them is it means, let's say, a person did a certain avera the first time in his life. So Hashem will take that away and not consider it towards his detriment, because after all, it was his first time, and he's generally speaking, been good. The other possibility is that it's not even the first Avera, but like the first couple, if you have a person who's basically good, basically upright and whatever, but he's done a couple of Averas, then Hashem will take away those Averas, Rishon Rishon, one by one, in order to lighten that side of the scale. The Rambam explains more like that second explanation. He explains that actually what happens is Hashem will start like taking off the Averis one by one. We learned in Yuma, Hashem will give a person a break up to three times. So Hashem will take off the first one. Now the second one becomes the first one. So therefore that can be taken off also. And therefore the number of them gradually decreases. But Omar Rava, but Oven Atzma ain't a Nimcha. Don't think that those Averis that Hashem took off the scale are erased. They're not. The Iika Ruba Avonis, if it ends up after the rest of the measurement is done, that is mostly Avonis, Machshi Badayu, then those Averis that were taken off the scale are going to be put right back on and included together with it. So it's only, in other words, Hashem gives the person a break and Ma'avir Rishon Rishon in order to make it at least equal. But if after all that it still doesn't help, then everything gets counted. Okay. More on this topic of Noise Oven Over Al Pesha, Rava Omar, or Omar Rava, really, because it's a new statement. When a person is willing to overlook things that people did against him, Amidosev, things that people did such and such to me, I should do exactly that back to them. So if he overlooks that and he says, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to be meichel them, Mavirin Lo Yakob Shav. Then Hashem forgives him all of his averus. Shenema noise oven over al pesha. Lami noise oven. Who does Hashem forgive averus? Lami she over al pesha to a person who himself in his midas shemin adam lachaveray is willing to overlook transgressions against him. And the Gemara gives an example of this. Rav Huna Beredi Rav Yeshua Cholash. Rav Huna Beredi Rav Yeshua one time was sick. All Rav Papa came to be mvaka choila. Chazir Cholish Le'alma. He saw that Rabbi Huna Ben Devi Shul looked very weak. He's at death's door. Omalahu, so Rav Papa says to the family, Zvisu Le'zvada, prepare for him provisions. And what provisions does a mess need? Tachrichim. In other words, he's a goner. So you may as well get ready. Well, Seif Itbach, eventually Rav Huna Ben Devi Shul recovered. Have a mixer for Papa Lamechsis. So Papa now is embarrassed to go see him. I pronounced you dead, and here you are walking around. Omale my chazis. So he asked him, Huna Bered Devashur, what did you see when you were Lamaila? I saw you really are dead. Your neshama must have left your body. What did you actually see, Lamaila? Omale. So Rav Huna Bered Devashur answers him, Ein hochinam, ein hochihava. Indeed, that's how it was. I was, in fact, my neshama did in fact leave my body. But Hashem said to the Beis Din Shamayla, since Rav Huna Ben Devi Yeshua is not particular about other people insulting him or harming him or whatever, don't be so machmer on him. Give him a break. So that's what saved Rav Huna Ben Devi Yeshua's life, the fact that he was always maver al midosav. But the pasuk continues, l'sheiris nachalosai, for the remnant of his heritage, the remnant of the Jewish people. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, alya v'kotzba. What you have over here is like the expression, a fat tail, but with a thorn stuck in it. Which, I mean, the metaphor is of an animal with a fat tail that drags it all over the place, and thorns get up and end up getting embedded in it. So it's a figure of speech for where you have something that looks really, really good at first glance, but you look a little closer and you realize there's some fine print over here that you have to pay attention to. What's the fine print? We're saying that this dispensation of Nosa Oven over our Pasha is only for She'eris Nachalasa, not for everybody. So what is that? L'misha Mesim Atma Kishirayim only applies to a person who makes himself like Shirayim, who is humble. Meaning, in other words, you can have a person who's Mavra Midosav, not because he's humble, because you know what, that other guy is beneath my dignity, he's a garnished, why should I, that's not what we're saying, that he's Mavra Midosav. Mavra Midosav, we're talking about where he feels, you know what, this other person is taka greater than me, and therefore I'm not going to answer him back, because you know what, he has a valid point, he what he's saying or doing to me, he has a, you find, for example, with David and Shimi, for example, when Shimi is cursing him, and Ki Hashem Omalei Kalo would be an example of this, not that he's saying Shimi's a nobody, and therefore I should ignore him, obviously I did have aveiros that make me deserve this kind of treatment, and therefore I'm not going to go and then get back at Shimi for it. So that would be an example of the Misha Mesim Atzvik Yishirayim. So we're saying over here that this is Alya Bakotzba. It's not so easy for a person to reach that level. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna pointed out a contradiction between Psukim. Going back to talking about Hashem's justice. Ksiv Tzadik Hashem B'chol D'rafav, Uchtiv B'chosid B'chomasav, B'chosid G'nashrei. Hashem is just in all of his ways, and chosid and kind in all of his doings. Tzadik suggests that it's exact mishpat, exactly what needs to be done, what each person deserves. Chosid suggests that he goes with Nimishur Asadin. So what is it? It means b'tchilat tzadik over soif chosid. First, Hashem starts by judging a person as a tzadik, as the exact thing, exactly what he deserves. Then Hashem sees the world is not going to last on that alone, so therefore Hashem brings in chesed as well. We have by Ma'aseh Bereishis, where it says that Hashem intended to create the world b'midas adin, and that's not going to work, so he added midas harachmanim. So we're saying that that's on an ongoing basis. Similarly, Rabbi Lazar also pointed out a contradiction in another pasuk. Ksiv l'cha Hashem chosed. The pasuk says Hashem, yours is the chesed. Ki uchsiv ki after the shalom leish k'maseir. The same pasuk continues because you pay back each person according to his deeds. So again, chesed suggests that Hashem goes l'chinim mishur asadin. Ki after the shalom leish k'maseir suggests that it's very exact. So which is it? Same thing. B'tchila ki after the shalom k'maseir. It starts out with that Hashem is going to pay back the person exactly what he deserves. Then in the end, Hashem brings in chesed. So why is the pasuk backwards? Tosfos says, same thing. It means, because you realize that it won't work if the shalom ish k'maseh. Similarly, Ilfi, Rami Ilfi, or some say Ilfa, pointed out a contradiction. The same thing. Again, Rav Chesed is Chesed, emes is strict midas adin. In fact, you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says midas emes ra v'nafal aponav. When it says after Hashem spoke the yud gimel midas harachmin, and it says vayimaher Moshe vayikud outza, Moshe hurried up and fell on his face vayishtachu, and he prostrated himself. So the Gemara says, what did he see that made him bow so suddenly? One explanation: the Gemara says midas emes ra, he saw the midah of truth, and he realized that's a very strict standard. So why are we saying Rav Chesed and then Ve'emes? Same thing. B'tchila Ve'emes, Ve'emes will say Rav Chesed. Hashem starts out with Emes, but if he sees the person is not going to be able to manage it, then Hashem gives Rav Chesed instead. You do have, by the way, the rare tzaddikim that are able to live on Emes, that are able to live on Hashem's strict justice. The Gemara mentions them in Brachas, for example. There's a mimer someplace in the Siddur in Dach that talks about the idea that when we say behei nivra olam hazeh, b'yud nivra olam haba, the yud, among other things, represents gvura, he explains, and therefore it means you have the people who, the rare people who wind up in the very highest levels of Gan Eden, they are the ones who live, who able, he says also, la'asid lavei, this is how it's going to be, la'asid lavei, the world is going to run on Hashem gvura rather than chesed, because the world will be on a level to be able to deserve that. Nowadays it's not. If Hashem ran the world on gvura, on midas adin, it would be destroyed, but la'asid lavei, it won't be that way. Since we're talking about the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, let's discuss them. The pasuk says, "Vayaver Hashem upon Vayikra." Hashem passed by in front of Moshe and called out the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim. Amar Rabbi Yechonon, "Il Mole Mikra Kasuv Iyef Shalom Oimrei." If the pasuk had not been written this way, it would be impossible for us to say it on our own. Malamech in his Atav Hakadosh Baruch Hu K'Shliach Tzibur. This teaches us that Hashem wrapped himself up in a talis like a Shliach Tzibur. Although Rabbi Hananel says it wasn't Hashem himself, it was a malach, but whatever, that there was wrapped up in a talus like a shliach tzibur, the herald of Moshe said a tefillah, and he showed Moshe how to daven push it. Omaloi, he tells him, kol zman sheyisroel choytin, whenever the Jewish people are sinning, yasu lefonei kaseder hazeh, they should do in front of me like the seder, v'ani moichel lehem, and I will forgive them. So therefore, now this is, by the way, why we have, number one, we don't say the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim B'Yochid, because we're saying over here that's really for the Shliach Tzibur and for the Tzibur to say along with him. So that's why we don't say it when we're B'Yochid. And second of all, this is why when we have Slichas, even for example, Slichas before Rosh Hashanah that take place in the middle of the night or before Shacharis, the Chazan puts on a talis based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, that when the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim are said, you should be wearing a talis. So okay, when we daven mincha, we say the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim. The Chazan not wearing a talis, and I'm in a fine. But in general, in Shacharis and in Slichas, we do. And we learn from here. So the first two of the midas are now. Actually, you have over here. You can see there's a Tosfos and a note on the side of Tosfos. There's a lot of different opinions how to count the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim. We always are used to, because we say in davening, we start from Hashem, Hashem, and we understand, as the Gemara is going to say over here, that Hashem, Hashem are the first two of them. Hashem, Hashem, the third one is Keil, the fourth one is Rachum, and so on and so forth. There are a number of other explanations, Tosfos and the note in Tosfos and other Rishonim talk about a few other possibilities. One is that maybe the first Hashem does not count, because we say, in other words, it means, Vayaver Hashem upon him, Vayikra Hashem, Hashem passed in front of him, and Hashem called out, Hashem, Keil, Rachum, Vachanan, etc. So according to that, it would begin with the second Hashem. Because the Gemara is going to say in a second that the first Hashem refers to before even the person did an Avera. So therefore, so it doesn't have to be counted as one of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, because before the person did an Avera, maybe he doesn't need Rachmim. Although we'll talk about that in a second. There's other possibilities that maybe neither Hashem counts. Maybe it starts only from Kael. And then you have even those opinions that none of them, Hashem, Hashem, Kael, is all an introduction. And they actually begin with Rachmim. And then you have, then as you go along also, for example, is Erech HaPayim counted as one or as two? If you have, for example, you look in the Siddur by Tashlich, when we say the Pesukim over there, Mikael Kamoicha, and you have above them, you have in little letters, you have the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim. So there you have, for example, Hashem, Hashem, Kael is all together, and Erech and HaPayim are split apart, for example, and so forth. So you have several different opinions among the Rishonim and among the Mekubalim and so forth, exactly how we count Yud Gimel Midas from these Pesukim. Anyway, because the Gemara continues, when we say Hashem, Hashem, why do we mention Hashem's name twice? It means Hashem says, Anihu kodim sheyachta adam, I'm the same Hashem, the same Midas Harachmim, before the person does the Avera, v'anihu la'achar sheyachta adam v'yasa tshuva, and I am just as merciful after the person did the Avera and did tshuva. Now, why does a person need Rachmanus before he did the Avera? So the Rush offers a couple of reasons. First of all, Hashem knows in advance that he's going to do it. And nevertheless, Hashem still has Rachmanis on him. The other reason, the Rosh says, what happens if a person has a thought of Avodah Zarah? So usually we say, Machshava Ra Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzar for the Maisa. That Hashem doesn't count the bad thought as part of the Maisa. But with Avodah Zarah, it's different. The Gemara tells us in a few places. However, Bamed Bar Mamon, when he actually goes and worships it, then Hashem counts the thought badly against him as well. But like this, if he only has the thought, doesn't actually do it, then Hashem still has Rachmanis on him. That's the first Hashem we're saying. We continue Kale Rachum Vachanun, that Hashem is a Kale is also a midah of Chesed. Rachum Vachanun. A difference between Rachum and Chanun, by the way, is that Rachum means that Hashem has Rachmanus. Marsha says that I think that Rachum means that Hashem has Rachmanus. Chanun means particularly when the person is in trouble that Hashem gets it out of it. Chanun suggests like a person is in trouble and he needs extra help, then Hashem gives him that extra help, even if maybe he's not deserving of it at all. So the Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda, Bris Krusa, the Yudgimu Midas, She'en and Choizres Reikam. There's a covenant that Hashem made with the 13 Midas that they don't return empty-handed. When you daven with the Yudgimu Midas, you're guaranteed to be answered. Hashem, Hini Anochi, Kodes Bris, as Hashem says, I'm making a covenant, and the covenant refers to the Yudgimu Midas. Now, the question is, you have to ask, unfortunately, we see that sometimes people do daven with the Yudgimu Midas and it doesn't help. There is an explanation that we just said before, that Hashem said when the Jewish people sin, Yasu l'fanei kaseder hazeh. Now, what do you mean? What the doing you're saying? It means when people actually act like these Yudgimu Midas, Mahu Chanun, Afata Chanun, Ma'ata Rachum, Afata Rachum, then the Yudgimu Midas have their effect. When not, when people are not behaving according to these Yudgimu Midas, then saying them is not going to be so effective. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It causes the person's zardin to be ripped up. Shenema, as you have a pasuk, Hashem tells Yeshaya, you're going to have a tough job now as a Navi, because look what the Yetzirah is doing to the people. Hashmen leva amazeh, he's making the heart of this people fat, but he's covering it with a layer of fat so nothing can penetrate. The oznav hachbed, he's causing their ears to be heavy. The enav hosha, he's causing their eyes to turn away. Because he's afraid, pen yira be'enav, he's afraid that the Jewish people otherwise are going to see with their eyes what's going on, over oznav yishma, and they're going to listen with their ears to what the Nevi'im are saying, ulavava yavin, and their heart will understand, because if they were to do all that, the shav, the rof aloy, they would do tshuva, and they're going to be healed, and the Yetzirah doesn't want that, and therefore he's preventing them from paying attention. So we see, in other words, that if a person does tshuva, the rof aloy, he'll be healed. So we see that tshuva can rip up the gzardin. How do you know? Maybe it means only before the Gzaudin, Shuvah helps. So Abaya answers, but Rafa likes him. Sure, but the Pasuk uses the expression that Hashem will heal him. When do we say that healing is needed? When you have a Gmardin, then you need Rafua. When there's no Gmardin yet, you don't need Rafua. The verdict hasn't been decided yet. So then, of course, Shuvah helps, but the point is that Shuvah helps even after that. And what says Macy? I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Hashav ben Tayim, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, a person does tshuva, Moichlen Loi, then Hashem forgives him, Loi Shav ben Tayim, but if he doesn't do tshuva in between, Afilu Hevi Kol Eile Nevoyas Shiva Olam, even if he brings all the rams of Nevoyas, which are Nevoyas was the eldest son of Yishmael, and the rams from his area of the world were particularly fat and good quality, so even if he brings all of those, Ein Moichlen Loi, he's not going to be forgiven because he needs to do tshuva. So we see that only if he does tshuva ben tayim, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is during the time before the Gzar Din has been sealed, the answer is like Kasha Habi Yachid Habi Tzibur. Depends, we're talking about a Yachid or a Tzibur. A Yachid, you're right, once the Gzar Din is done, then it can't be ripped up. But the Tzibur, they can still, even after the Gzar Din, can do tshuva and Hashem will rip up the Gzar Din. So the Gemara says, Maisi, I have a contradiction to that. We learn in the pasuk is Eidei Hashem Elokecha, the eyes of Hashem are on Eretz Yisrael, and that means that throughout the year, not just Rosh Hashanah, itim l'tova, itim l'ra. Sometimes that can be for good, and sometimes for the opposite. Meaning, sometimes what was decided at the beginning of the year is not really redecided, but reassigned during the year in a different way. Itim l'tova ketzad, what do we mean for good? Harei shahu yisod ashoyim gmurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Suppose the Jewish people are complete b'shoyim on Rosh Hashanah. U'poskelam b'shamim wadim. So the Beis Din Shamayla decided that they only get a very little amount of rain that year. L'soif chos yubahan. Later on during the year they did shuvah. Now you can't add more rain to the gzera. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. What do you mean? He was talking about sibur, and we're still saying the gzera din can't be ripped up. That's what we left the question, so we'll get to the answer soon. So you can't change the gzera. You can't add more rain to find nigzur gzera because the gzera has already been made. Ella Hakadosh Baruch Hu murdered in shle bismanon. Ella Hakadosh Baruch Hu murdered in bismanon. Rather, what Hashem will do then is He'll cause that rain to fall in its proper time. On the land that needs them, everything according to whatever the land needs. In other words, Hashem will make sure of that little amount of rain, not one drop of it is wasted. Every single one will fall on a cultivated field, on an orchard or whatever. None of it is going to be wasted on the forest. None of it is going to be wasted on the sidewalks, etc. So little rain, but every bit of it does some good. Itim l'ra'a ketzad, what do we mean for bad? The other way around, harei she yisrael tzaddikim gmurim b'Rosh Hashanah, suppose the Jewish people were tzaddikim gmurim on Rosh Hashanah, u'posku aleim k'shamim merubim, so Hashem decided they're going to get a lot of rain, l'saif chozru b'hem, later on during the year they turn around and become Roshayim, l'fchis mehen yefshar, Hashem was not going to reduce the amount of rain, shekvar nigzer gzera, because the gzera was already made, Ella HaKadosh Baruch Hu murdered in Shalev Izmanan, so Hashem will say, okay, you're going to get plenty of rain, but it'll come in the wrong time, when the fields don't need it, out of season. And it'll make it fall on places that don't need it. For example, the forests and the deserts and whatever. So the question is, Latova, now if the Jewish people turned for the good and was saying that the Gzera is that then Hashem takes that little amount of rain and makes sure that everything of it goes to where it should, Mia Lakrail Xaudinayu. So why doesn't Hashem at least rip up the Xaudin, the Loisif Lahu, and add to them rain? After all, we said the Xaudin and the Tzibur can be ripped up. The answer is shiny hosam to efshe b'hachi. Yeah, but in that case, it's possible to arrange things this way. In other words, Hashem Kavyocho would prefer not to have to rip up the Gzau Din even for the Tzibur. So when that Gzau Din for the Tzibur can be reinterpreted or reworked out in a way that it'll do the most good, then Hashem will do that and make sure in this case that none of the rain goes to waste. Where that's not possible, then Hashem will actually rip up the Gzau Din of the Tzibur because they did Tshuva. So still no contradiction. We'll continue with that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Yeah, everyone.